Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs and have some fun.
You gotta give us a shot.
You know what?
You gotta give us a shot.
Excuse me one second. Hey, whoever's got that, turn that off. Just turn that off.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Clapback Sports. I am your host, The Mage. As always, I am joined by my co-host, Murph. Say what's up to the people, man.
What's going on, my people? My juices aren't flowing as much as Tino's right now, but Rangers hockey's back, so that's the highlight of my week right now. But I think Mr. Rodriguez has a little bit more exciting news for you guys.
Mr. Rodriguez is my father, Murph. First and foremost, Mr. Rodriguez is my father. But I think he's excited about the news as well. I'm excited for Rangers hockey, too. I want you to not think that I'm not. But you're right. The Nets just made a big-time splash, as you all know. We got James Harden. And I think I'm more happy. I told you guys before we got on the air, I'm just happy to be hated. I'm happy that people are mad about this trade, and nothing makes me happier. If you don't like the trade, you don't like winning. It's as simple as that. The Nets got their super team. It wasn't Durant, Irving, and DeAndre Jordan. That's what we had. It's Harden, Irving, and Durant now. And dude, I'm jazzed up about it. But we have a guest. This is not a Nets podcast. We have a guest here, and it's not just the three of us talking.
Yes. So our special guest this week is none other than Shane Baldwin. Shane, how are you, brother? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Why don't you go ahead and tell everybody where they can find you if you want to plug it. If not, and want to remain anonymous, you can too.
Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm sure people that listen have seen me. I interact with you guys a lot. Shane_Baldwin91. Really, all I really talk about is Giants. Sometimes I'll, pick fights with other fan bases just if I'm bored. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I see why you and Murph get along so well.
Someone's got to keep it at bay, right? I think Shane's going to be a little bit of a different flavor to this episode than last week. I think you guys will agree with me, but maybe a little bit more positive tip to it.
Well, we're not going to be arguing Dave Gettleman this week, at least not to the extent that we did last week, with our very special guest, Don Gettleman, which a lot of people enjoyed that episode. So they hope that we can bring them back at some point in the future, said no one. But let's get this started. Patrick Graham is returning. The New York Giants signed him to an extension as their defensive coordinator. So no head coaching job for Patrick Graham, at least not this season. Thoughts?
Yeah, so, I mean, we touched on it lightly last week. We were kind of caught up in all the Gettleman stuff to really even focus in on Patrick Graham. But, this is a win. This is a big-time win. You can tell that the chemistry goes a long way with him and Joe Judge. That is the assistant head coach on this team. They're trying to bring back a lot of these guys on the defensive side of the ball, obviously with a lot of the one-year deals that we have and decisions to make with Dalvin and Leonard and whatnot. But who better to help string those decisions along than the guy who helped get our defense back on track in Patrick Graham. So I'm jazzed up about it. Can't get too overly excited because that's not the side of the ball I was worried about. I'm more worried about the other side of the ball, but hey, at least we're keeping that and we're building on something that worked this year.
Yeah. I'm with Tino. Obviously we're all excited that Graham's not interviewing anywhere else. And I think that was like really the big thing that we were all worried about, but I think we're kind of also overlooking how important this is for this team, man. Just like Tino said, I mean, we got to wrap our guys up on the defensive side of the ball, and it's all going to start with the leader of that unit. And, Patrick Graham leaves this team and walks away. I don't know that we're even talking about Leo and Dalvin being back next year as confident as we are now. I'm pretty confident both are going to be back now. It seems like Joe Judge is definitely on a mission to nail this offseason, and this just was the first nail in the coffin for him on his checklist this offseason, making it very clear in the media this week that it was a priority for him. So I think it's really important for us. The importance of that is huge.
No, I agree. I love it. I was so happy when I saw that news. The big thing for me is obviously the chemistry and the continuity with not only him and Judge, and hopefully they can keep their position guys. I know that the linebackers coach left, but I hopefully everyone else can stay. And I could have the quote wrong, but I think Judge said that him and Graham were the only two that were in the building. It just seems that they get each other, that they are like a dynamic duo and they work really well together. And my biggest thing is, I know that like there were times where it was like, oh my God, they're just giving up chunk play after chunk play. But I love that he adapts to his personnel and he can change things based on who he has on the field with injuries or whatever. I think that's one of his biggest strengths, is that he takes what he has and makes it work.
Well, especially with the coaching carousel, we saw a couple defensive coordinators become available. Mike Nolan, who's Dan Quinn, so who accepted the Cowboys job. And I saw them on the market. And I was like, wow, you know what? I said, I wouldn't mind the Giants kicking the tires on them. And then I remembered to myself, we have Patrick Graham. How easily, you know, because he's not a household name, how easily you forget about him. But to Shane's point, I like his flexibility, what he does with this defense. He's able to get a lot out of nothing and switch up the personnel so that this way it confuses him. A lot of zone defense, which hopefully we improve on, and maybe we could play some men going forward. But, yeah, I think from a Giants perspective, or at least even Giants fan perspective, I think that's one thing that everybody can agree on, is that they're happy to see Patrick Graham back.
So, Mage, also, I mean, Patrick Graham over Dan Quinn any day of the week. And I also say that because Dan Quinn is now in the division. He's the DC over in Dallas now. So that's some relevant news. And I don't think it's going to change very much for the Dallas Cowboys.
I said obviously that, but thank you, Tino, for not paying attention to the podcast.
No, it's okay. You know what? You know this at this point. Anything Dallas, I just need to pour it on them, okay? Just let me reiterate the point sometimes, because they think this is going to solve their issues, and it's just not. It's just not going to work. So,
well, the problem still exists in Mike McCarthy. I think
he's their big issue.
Well, it's crazy to me that they fired Mike Nolan, who, first of all, in my opinion, was a horrible hire. Second of all, they didn't even interview anyone else. They went straight for Dan Quinn. And, I mean, I know he's got the defensive coordinator experience, but, dude, he inherited the Legion of Boom, and then he completely just shit the bed in Atlanta. I mean, I was always under the impression that Atlanta had a pretty decent roster and could never get it done, especially from the offensive side of the ball. I know he's a defensive guy, but they did have pieces on defense. I'm not sweating that hiring at all.
Yeah, but on offense, they brought in different coordinators to try to get that offense going. It just never seemed to click. I like Dan Quinn.
Except in the Super Bowl when they blow it.
Yeah, well, I like Dan Quinn from a defensive perspective. I liked what he did in Seattle. So I just thought it was noteworthy. Tino, thank you for clarifying that he was hired by the Dallas Cowboys. So speaking of Dallas and speaking of coordinators, Jason Garrett is still a New York Giant offensive coordinator as of today. What do we think happens, boys? Do we think he moves on? Does he take another job? Are we rolling with him next year? And then we can get into what is known as the dumpster fire that Clapback Sports started today on Twitter. So let's stick with Jason Garrett. Let's start off with Shane.
I hope to God that he gets hired somewhere. I hope that he tricks the team into hiring him. Did he ever interview with the Chargers? I feel like it was like a thing that he was. Oh, he did? Okay.
I've also interviewed everyone and their mother, so.
Yeah. So I hope that he leaves. I don't care what Mara and I feel like Judge does not want him there. And I feel like the fact that he's not there with Judge and Graham shows that they, like, Judge is like, whatever. Like, we have him, we're kind of stuck with him. But if he's still there, they are going to have to load up on that. I mean, they have to anyway, but like, they'll have to be successful in spite of him. And I know that he had a stretch of some good play calling, but there was never a game that I can think of or remember. And I don't watch film. I don't rewatch the games, but there was never a game where I was watching the offense and I was like, man, like, that was just a good offensive game. And I know personnel plays into that, but kind of what I said with Graham, he doesn't adapt to his personnel. He came in with his plan with Saquon and who we had. Saquon goes out and he never changed it. And I think that they just, they'll have to load up to be good in spite of him and his play calling.
So before we kick it over to Murph, I was talking to our boy, Mr. Chris 172 today, my drive time buddy. So we were talking on the phone and we brought this up. So if it comes down to it, do we think that Joe Judge now has enough credibility in that organization to say, hey, I don't want Jason Garrett. I want to move on from this guy. Or does Jason Garrett just too close to John Mara and he's not going to have a say? And does this cause a division?
Well, you actually kind of took half of my point and applied into that question. Well, this one's
it for you, Murph.
What?
We're professionals here. I framed the question for you.
You're in my head. You're in my head.
You guys are so – come on, guys. We got to do better. You guys are professionals here.
It's the offseason, Mage. It's already the Giants offseason, you know. You can't expect us to be in midseason form anymore.
No, I'm glad Mage brought this up, though, because this one I struggle with. Because to me, if we think that Joe Judge has that big dick energy and all the power that he does – and he didn't want Garrett, then Garrett would be gone. Now, as far as the interview process goes with Garrett, like, he's not getting that San Diego job. The only way Garrett is getting any other job is it's a lateral move. It's the only way he's not coming back to the Giants. So this one's tough for me because I'm like, Joe would have fired him if he really didn't want him, right? We've already seen him do that with other coaches. But then I'm like, well, the Mara strings are also there too. Well, no, so it's kind of like,
disagree with you on that.
Yeah, I'm confused with it, honestly. I don't really have a side or not. It's kind of like a mind fuck because, you know, we all think that the Mara's hired Garrett. I think that's pretty obvious, but I don't know, man. I don't think Judge has as much power as we think.
This organization loves Joe Judge. Loves him. But I think Joe Judge is also enough of a politician to kind of say going into his second year, I don't think he I think Joe Judge has some self-awareness where he can say that I'm not really at that point yet where I can start dictating, you know, who stays and who goes in terms of an offensive coordinator position, if he is blessed by the ownership. So I think it's just kind of Joe Judge sitting on the backseat and kind of he's going to probably ride this out one more year. So, Tino, is there a job out there, like Colin Cowherd said today, maybe the Jets that Jason Garrett's best suited for?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be the Jets anymore. I feel like the Jets have kind of gone the offensive route. So they had Bowles, they went defense, like as a head coach. And then they went to Adam Gase for the last 2 years. And you know, just to go off my point for a second, we talk about Garrett. I think the one phrase I keep hearing about all these coach searches is that it's an offensive league and you need an offensive-minded head coach. And I think that's very odd because I'm a big Robert Saleh guy and he's linked to the Jets. And I think, you know, that could be a very good fit for them. So as much as everyone's kind of skewing to the point where it's an offensive league and you need to open things up, I agree to that point because we have Jason Garrett and he does the opposite, but I also don't think that means that defensive coaches shouldn't get opportunities as head coaches anymore. But to your point with Garrett, I don't know.
Just to interject real quick, all the Jets' success has come under defensive head coaches.
And that's why I think it would work. I agree. Major, I completely agree. I think that would be the best case scenario. Plus, when you look at their team right now, it's probably one of their stronger suits. I mean, even though they traded Jamal Adams, I mean, they still got some guys on the interior line there. But let's get off the Jets. And I just want to talk about Garrett because I made the joke last week and you said you want to drive him to LA and coach the Chargers. I think that type of coaching would ruin Justin Herbert single-handedly. And, you know, I don't know what team could have saw Jason Garrett this year and wanted him, but God, I hope someone out there does. Cause you know, to your point, I feel like Judge would have pulled the trigger if he had the power. Maybe he wouldn't have, but we're kind of in limbo here. And as much as I was beating the horn and beating the table for maybe we give Garrett another shot in like week four, when I was saying, well, we got to give him time. We don't want to do another system. I'm all out on that. I think we've seen enough. I don't think it'll get much better. And, you know, I'm worried. I'm worried about this offense.
So do we think that passing game coordinator could be hired to help out Jason? Because right now we're leaning towards him being back. And obviously that was the biggest broken part of our offense. So I know it's been thrown around lately a little bit that the reality is setting in that he's most likely going to be back. Do we think that there's an opportunity for us to bring in a passing coordinator? Because we think us three, I don't know about Shane, but us three, we're under the impression that this is the brand of football that Judge wants to play. We're just not executing it the way he wants to.
Yeah, I think so. I've seen that topic is, I feel like it was like today and yesterday was like a big time thing with people saying that on Twitter that they should do that. The one guy I don't want it, Pep Hamilton, as a Michigan guy, he was there. It was absolutely atrocious. It was like him and Harbaugh. I mean, Harbaugh's another story, but him, he is not good for the job. I don't know who would be, but I do think someone to come in and be a fresh, like a creative guy, for that side of the ball, because just watching, like I said, watching that offense, it was just absolutely brutal. But to go back to the Garrett and possibly getting other coaching jobs, I think that fans, I'm trying to think of how to word this. So people always say like, oh, it's an offensive league, they should hire an offensive coach. I would I didn't know Judge, but when he was hired, I was excited because he's not going to be a coordinator. Like, I think that what Garrett, the positive that he has and what he could tell, what he could sell to people is I was on a team and I was the head coach of a team that pretty much ran the division while I was there. And they had a ton of talent to you know, and whatnot, but your head coach doesn't have to be a coordinator. We had that with Shermer, we had that with McAdoo, and it was awful. And what I love, one of my favorite things about Judge is that he doesn't have to worry about that. He doesn't have to be the leader of the team and then also come up with a game plan every week. He's involved, but he's not leading the charge with that. And I just feel like, I don't know, like I said, I hope that Garrett leaves, but if he's not, they definitely need a passing game coordinator to come in and help out with this offense because it's just not good.
Shane, I like that point, though. I think you're right, you know, because that's a reason why I was all in on Judge, too. You could just tell the guy was a leader of men, natural born leader. You knew he wasn't going to be a coordinator, knew he wasn't going to go that route. And even during the season, that's just not what he's going to do. It's not his MO, but he's still an amazing head coach because of all the other things he could do. Just because you're not a coordinator doesn't mean you don't understand the game or could break down film or, you know, attribute to the game plan. It just means that's just not what you're going to do. But to tie that into Patrick Graham, too, I think that's something we talked about on this show, too. I don't know if Patrick Graham was necessarily ready to kind of become a head coach. I think in his own mind, I think he probably would have jumped on the opportunity a lot sooner or almost immediately. But he knows if he's getting these opportunities now, he believes himself enough that he'll get another opportunity down the road. And I think he just wants to wait to be ready. I think he likes what Judge is doing, and maybe he just kind of wants to wait in the wings a little bit and, you know, learn a few things. Because obviously, look, I'm not saying Judge reinvented the wheel this year, but he changed the culture, man. And that's not an easy thing to do. And that's a big part of a head coach's job. You got to change a culture. And, you know, I guess to give Jason Garrett some credit, I think you're right. You know, he was a head coach, so he can still sell that. He was a head coach as of 1 year ago. So again, I hope people buy that. I hope that's what they're, you know, I hope that's what they're selling and that's what they're taking, but I just wouldn't do it. If I was an organization, I just wouldn't do it.
Well, if I'm the Jets, I think that the Jets are a perfect place for a head coach like Doug Peterson or Jason Garrett. So Jason Garrett has had success in Dallas. His biggest thing was that he couldn't get over the hump. Well, another coach that recently did was Andy Reid as well. So I think that Jason Garrett would be a good fit for the New York Jets. And back to your point, you know, about Patrick Graham, I think hearing Patrick Graham speak, he doesn't sound like he's head coach material. And I think Patrick Graham is smart enough to where I think he might even realize that. Where he's just more comfortable coaching the defense and doing what he loves doing. And let's face it, he is the assistant head coach also for the New York Giants. So he does have that title with us. But as we move on from Jason Garrett, let's go into the shitstorm that we kind of started today on Twitter. So I'm going to pose a question like this, guys. Where do the New York Giants go from here? And I'm going to leave that open-ended. You take it wherever you guys want. Tino, let's start with you, Tino.
Where do we go from here? Well, we answered a lot of the questions, I mean, right away in terms of what we made decision-wise with Gettleman and Graham. We got to wait to see what, you know, Garrett, like we just mentioned, and then draft and personnel, man. I think it's glaring. Everyone's beating the table right now for a receiver. I think, you know, it's no surprise. It's obviously a big-time issue. But I've always talked about that I'm more kind of excited to see what we do defensively. I want to see what those decisions are. I think they play a big factor to kind of what Merv said in terms of our salary cap. I mean, we're going to have to get creative if we want to make some moves and sign some of these receivers that people think we're going to sign. And if we don't make those moves and bring defensive guys back, then we're going to have to draft a receiver, or like Mage wanted to stir the pot and say, maybe we go offensive tackle and, you know, the world burns, who knows. But I think a lot of the decisions that I'm looking forward to see is on the defensive side of the ball, but obviously our biggest issues are offensively and at the receiver position. But I don't know. I think once Garrett kind of figures out what he's going to do, everything else will kind of work itself out as the process goes on in the offseason.
We can go so many directions with this, but I think the biggest thing is, you know, Mara and Gettleman both said multiple times that we need to add playmakers to this team. So that's obviously step number one. But out of all the years I can think of, I feel like this is the first year for the Giants that free agency is really going to determine what they do in the draft. We could have signed a stud OT last year, and I still want to have ruled out OT in the draft. But I think we're really going to have to wait, man. It sucks. And there's going to be a lot of speculation between now and free agency. But I feel like it's really hard to determine anything this team is going to be able to do until we see what kind of contracts they hand out. Me personally, I'm leaning towards paying the skills positions in free agency and drafting the grunts in the draft. But at the same time, if we take our wide receiver at 11, I'm not going to lose my fucking marbles. We need a lot. We've talked about this. Like, I mean, almost everybody on the offense could quite possibly be put on notice if you could make an argument for all of them almost. And then on defense, you know, we all know that this defense isn't ready to compete yet. It's a lot closer than the offense, but I mean, my motto this offseason is I don't give a shit what we do, but it better be the right thing. Because there's a lot of ways we can take this offseason. But I really haven't – I don't know which way they're leaning. I kind of want to feel like they're not going to pay people in free agency, but I would kind of prefer that, if that makes sense.
Let me interject here, right? So there's a few places I want to go with this. So first thing is I feel like that the Giants' biggest holes right now are on the offensive line, cornerback, edge, and wide receiver. I think if we didn't address anything else, I think we'd be okay. That's obviously assuming that we bring back Leo. And even if we let DT walk, I mean, we're going to have to make some decision at some point. But I was talking to Chris the other day, and I said this. I said that the fan base would hate me because I would look at drafting offensive line every year in the first round. And I feel like it makes your team so much better across the board with everything that you do. It makes your run game better. It improves your quarterback play. It helps open up the wide receivers when you have time to find them. So I think that that's going to be a need here. Now, I'm not saying ignore the wide receiver position. I'm not saying that. But let's face it, this is recency bias, and it's a lot of people that enjoy playing fantasy football and people that play Madden that want us to take a wide receiver with the 11th pick overall. Devontae Smith is the big ticket item right now. He's been playing his ass off as of lately, a couple 200 plus yard receiving games, big game in a national championship. But he's 6'1", and I think all of us here probably weigh more than he does. I'm not completely sold on putting all my eggs in his basket as being our top tier wide receiver. So I'm with you, Merv. I would prefer to spend the money in free agency on a guy like Allen Robinson. And I think free agency should be fulfilling your needs, right? And then let the draft be drafting the best player available. You should be looking in the draft for best player, not worrying about trying to fill needs. That's when you get into trouble, when you start reaching for positions. So in the first round, if Devontae Smith and Ja'Marr Chase are gone, I'm cool with taking a cornerback. I'm looking at Patrick Surtain. Caleb Farley. Other than that, I probably want one of these edge rushers. I don't know a lot of people. The consensus is out on them or taking an offensive tackle or move down. I think Jacksonville has the Rams pick, correct? So I think in the Jalen Ramsey trade, I think they might have the Rams pick this year. So if that's the case, if we're looking at an offensive tackle or maybe an edge guy that we're afraid of, hey, Jacksonville is going to take Trevor Lawrence with the first overall pick. If Devontae Smith is on the board at 11, I might trade down with them. Give me your first in this year's pick and give me the first overall in the second. You're talking about a lot of draft capital between those three picks.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way, though, he's dropping to 11, just with the hype around him in general and just what he's put together. But I like where all your heads are at, because I think 1,000% you got to address receiver in free agency first and foremost, and then get value at receiver. We got Shep in the second once upon a time, and that's probably the staple of a receiver we have currently. And then you have Slayton, and that's a guy we took in like, what, the fourth or the fifth? The fifth. So there's value in receiver later in the draft. And I was talking about this with Jet fans today, because people think,
you know, there's going to be wide receivers available on the same.
I love Rashad Bateman. When we talked about Devontae Smith before he even popped off against LSU, I said this might be a guy that Giants could target in the second round because Jalen Waddle was so hyped with Jamar Chase, and now he's just
let me stop you there, because you're hyping all these dudes up.
Yeah.
Why do we think that there's three wide receivers that are going to go top 10? Everybody thinks that all these wide receivers are going to go top 10, top 15. Jerry Judy didn't go till 15 last year. What Ruggs go?
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
What Jefferson?
Justin Jefferson went 22.
22. Yeah. So honestly, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, nobody was really saying this is a stacked wide receiver class, but I feel like everybody's now saying it's a stacked wide receiver class because we need a wide receiver so bad. So if it's so stacked, the options are going to fall, not go early.
Well, to Tino's point also, let's not forget that a darling last year before the injury, Justin Ross. So if his health checks out, he could be a guy that's going to be available in that second round as well, depending upon how his medicals come back and whether or not teams think he's healthy enough to compete. So Justin Ross is a guy that could be available in the second round. I'm all for signing a wide receiver and then drafting one. I'm just not going to do it in the first round. I think
Devontae is definitely going top 10, and that's just facts. It probably should go top 5. And the thing is, though, it's mainly because they're wide receiver needy teams. I mean, look, there are delusional Eagles fans out there that are begging and pounding the table for a receiver again in the first round. I mean, that's how you ruin your franchise. You do it multiple years in a row, and they're going to strike out on it again.
They'll end up taking like the 7th best receiver at number 7. Pass on Jamar Chase for
they'll
like
take Bateman. They'll take the hell knows. They'll take a chance on Bateman. You're right. I would really love Jamar Chase to fall to us at 11. I think that's probably the only way. Because look, to your point, you're right. There were all this wide receiver hype last year. Maybe only Smith does go in the top 10. I think it'll matter. You got to think. Quarterback's going to be heavy. You got Sewell. You got some other linemen. The Giants could be in business for a corner. But if Jamar Chase falls to you at 11, I'm taking Jamar Chase, no doubt.
So you're talking three quarterbacks.
Run up there with the card.
Three quarterbacks.
Jamar Chase would be the only wide receiver I would take in this draft.
Heartbeat.
Early. Yeah, heartbeat. I agree. Go ahead,
Mark. I'd be happy with Devontae Smith, and I love him. I hype him up, but.
Who?
Devontae Smith.
I said I love Devontae Smith, and if they took him, I'd love it. But if they don't, like, I'm not going to lose sleep over picking a corner or whatever.
I just heard about Judy for years and years about how generational he is. And I'm this isn't me knocking Judy at all, because I love Judy. But the most general wide receiver to come out in years went number 15. So, I mean, as much as we want to talk about these skill position guys, there's going to be teams that are going to get their O-linemen, they're going to get their edge rushers, and you're going to have at least two quarterbacks that go top 10. So you're already looking at 8 spots right there. And you know two of them are most likely going to be an O-line at some point. So, I mean, I don't think it's really out of question corner. For us to be getting one of the top two wide receivers at 11. It's whether or not that's what we want to do.
I'm really hoping that something comes out pretty negatively about Penei Sewell when he drops. It may be the fact that he took a year off or something, but, man, I would love that fucking guy at 11 if he fell. Give me Penei Sewell over anybody else, aside from maybe
Trevor. There's no way the Jets are letting that happen. If the Jets, that's the thing, and that's a big part of it. I mean, the draft is so crazy. A lot can happen. I love where the Giants are sitting. I love that they're at 11 because you see it happen every year. I mean, maybe it won't be Sewell, but it's going to be someone
that
catches people's attention, or there's going to be a combine darling, a receiver that jumps everyone. And then someone's just going to fall right in our lap. So hopefully we make the right choice. I mean, that's the thing. Man, we got to make the right choice.
So let me come back to this, and I'll throw this question to Shane. So, well, also before I get to that, my point about the offensive linemen as well is that there are a lot of fans out there that want us to cut Kevin Zeitler and cut Nate Solder and then start Shane Lemieux and Matt Parrott at right tackle, which are going to be the same fans that are going to be complaining that our offensive line has got worse. Because Shane Lemieux, as much as I love the guy, I love his tenacity, I love the way that he plays football, he wasn't the best guard out there on the field. So Zeitler is a better option than Shane Lemieux. Will Hernandez right now is a better option than Shane Lemieux. Matt Parrott, whether or not he can fill in that right tackle, very possibly. He was a third-round pick. I like his ability a little bit more. But then at the same time, too, we can't forget what happened in 2018, 2019. This offensive line was decimated with injuries. Decimated. So it's not going to be a whole lot of depth either. We can't just get rid of Zeitler and Solder because we want to sign our favorite fantasy wide receiver or something to that nature. It's just not how it works. So if you want to get rid of them, too, use that money then to sign a wide receiver and draft an offensive tackle. Tino, I see you're itching to say something. No, just itching. All right, that's the chlamydia.
I'm trying to fight all the Nets haters online right now because everyone's taking the easy way out, saying that the Nets, this was the same trade as Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce played two seasons in Brooklyn. It was a disaster from the beginning. They were both 37 years old, and only one of them won an MVP. Durant, Harden. Multiple scoring championships, MVP. Lick my ass. Come up with something more original.
Oh, he's Fat Harden now, though.
I'm okay with Fat Harden. Dude, he's going to love strip clubs in New York. He's going to love them. Come on. He's going to get VIP cards. He's going to get limo service. It's going to be great. He's gonna have all the rappers come through. It's going to be fine. He's going to be right at home.
So let me ask you this. We also talked about edge being a need and possibly cornerback. Where are you going in terms of the defense? Do you think that there's somebody out there in free agency that we might be able to get? Maybe if we threw a flyer on a guy like a Vic Beasley, Leonard Floyd's going to be a free agent. Does he re-up with the Rams? Jadeveon Clowney coming off an injury-plagued season. Is he going to be more affordable for the New York Giants? Where do you want to go to address that need? Because right now it doesn't look like there's an edge worth taking at 11.
Definitely not Jadeveon Clowney. I didn't want him last year. Don't want him this year. I think he's beyond. I think that one clip at South Carolina skyrocketed him. And I mean, yeah, he's a good player, but I think he's just overrated, overpaid.
Well, if he wasn't overpaid? What if you could get him on a team-friendly deal because of the injury this year?
I'd rather go with someone like a Leonard Floyd or Hassan Reddick from the Cardinals, who tore us up this year. And that's not just because of that. I liked him when he was coming out of college. But I think it all depends on what they do with Dalvin and Leo, because I think there's no big name edge player in the draft in the first round, at least that I see that I love. And free agency, I think that if they can re-sign one or two or both of those guys, and I think the way to sign both of those guys would be to let Zeitler walk or let Solder go, let Zeitler go, and then use that money on them. And then they can bring in a guy like Hassan Reddick. And that would, I mean, that would be, that D-line would be just, it would be really good. I want Zeitler to stay. If they let Solder go, I'm fine with that. And then try to find maybe a cheaper option.
If we were on Twitter right now, I'd probably be yelling at you. So, that's my thing, right? I'm okay if we get rid of one of them. I don't think you could let both of them go, though.
No, definitely not. I agree.
You're not going to be able to fill out offensive line depth.
No, I agree. I'm not saying that. I'm cool with Zeitler staying.
extend Zeitler. You can't restructure him. I'd give him another two more years and stretch it out.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. But yeah, for me, I would love it if they could keep both Tomlinson and Leo. I don't know if they can. They'd have to get real creative with the money. But yeah, as far as the edge, like I said, Hassan Reddick, if they took an edge in the first round, I wouldn't be upset because like I said earlier, I trust these guys. I don't watch film. They do the scouting. So if they took one in round one or round two, I'd trust them that it's their guy and they will make it work. But yeah, Hassan Reddick, someone not as expensive as a big name type guy would get for me.
By the way, Shane, I just want to say that you do have a little bit of a twinge. You kind of look a little bit like Joe Judge. So I'm kind of getting that vibe from you a little bit. So
it kind of does, dude.
I'll take that as a compliment.
So as you talk about your trust, that's exactly what I'm seeing. So also at cornerback, though, there's going to be some interesting names out on the free agency market. Or would you guys be okay with maybe kicking the tires on a guy like Richard Sherman for a year or two to fill that second cornerback role?
I'm a fan of Richard Sherman, man, but we're going to have to deal with him as his own agent. So that's a trick to Richard Sherman. He represents himself. I don't know if you've heard him. So he's a tough negotiator. I don't know what he's going to look for. That's the thing. I don't know what his asking price is, but when you find out, he's going to be the one to tell you. So, you know, he doesn't sugarcoat it. I love his game. He's coming off another injury though this year, but I don't think the question is his talent. I think again, you know, to all these pieces, the edge, the corner, it's cost, man. We have very little room right now in my eyes. And that's the biggest thing. Where do we go from here? Got to make more decisions. We got to figure out who's staying, who's going. And from there, we can open our eyes to some things. I mean, look, we had the Jadeveon talk all last year, and we knew that we just weren't going to throw that money at him. And I just don't see how anything's really going to change from that.
I don't see anybody throwing the money at him this year, especially at $18-20 million.
He's delusional. But like, if he's going to ask for it, you know, you got to look elsewhere. So, you know, you got to
ask for it all he wants, right? I mean,
well, it's the same thing with Yannick. He ain't getting what he wanted last year.
I'd rather Leo at that price.
Yeah.
I mean,
you have to, right?
At this point, I think the goal is to bring back Leo. I don't think there's going to be enough room for Dalvin Tomlinson with the other needs that we have. I think Sexy Dexy moves over to a nose tackle position. BJ Hill becomes the other end opposite Leo Williams. I just don't know. And again, I'm asking about the quarterback position, but I don't know if we're even going to be able to necessarily address that in the offseason. So hey,
Julian Love, it was one game, but he looked damn good against that Dallas. And I mean, they didn't have Dak, but to play well in that game after not playing corner for 2 years against those receivers, not that I'm sold on him sealing the job and keeping it for himself, but it makes me feel more comfortable to move that need down the list a little bit.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the grinders. You can tell that.
Cornay Holmes as well.
Yeah. I'm looking at the corner list, man, and I mean, there's nothing we want to mess up.
Josh Norman, which
would never throw a million or two on a veteran if you want, but honestly, I think, you know, you mentioned Darnay. We still got Logan who's going to play slot, but really it's just the cornerback two spot that they just kind of have to put a name to, but all our depth at safety right now, obviously injuries are going to come, but it's really helping this team in the long run. I mean, seeing what McKinney could do, it just opens up the doors. Again, give Love a chance. Maybe he rises to the occasion a little bit. But
one way said one, right?
Yeah, give Love a chance. The one that got away. No, but you got McKinney, you got Peppers now. You're going to slot Logan in at the slot. Then we have Bradbury. So it's really like, Darnay's good enough to be on the field, whether he's playing that nickel position. Just give him the go outside. He played it in college too. I think we got some guys that Shane's right. I think you could move that corner need down on the list a little bit. I would definitely put edge above it.
Yeah, even especially
with the edge position, I'm kind of okay with that too. Right now, I would prioritize the wide receiver position because I think that with Patrick Graham and the way that he utilizes his personnel, I think he can manufacture a pass rush.
I want Fackrell back.
Well, Fackle, or like we said, or Shane said as well, we bring in a guy like Leonard Floyd, who might not cost top of the market money. He'll be more towards that middle tier, but we saw what he was able to do with the Rams this year. So maybe if we add an edge guy, Lorenzo Carter was playing really well before his injury as well. Now we have to see how he comes back from the Achilles. O'Shane Zimenez was also hurt. But yeah, I like your idea too, Murph, about bringing back Fackle. But I still think we need to sign one more guy, but I don't think it's going to be a top of the market type of player. So
I think that's really how we'll probably operate too. As much as our dreams are going to get crushed with wide receivers, the way this team has operated since Joe's got here just tells me that we're probably not going to go fish for the big fish. I mean, the way Joe plays the waiver wire and the production they got out of guys that they signed.
Martinez and Bradbury were pretty big fish. They might not have been on the top of everybody's boards, but they were certainly up there. So Martinez was constantly talked about with Littleton and Sherbert.
We also had cash. Down to
Byron Jones and Bradbury.
The cap's a little trickier now, though, is what I'm trying to get at.
Well, we still don't know what the cap number is going
to
be.
We had a new staff. We could afford to bring in a whole new roster. We can't afford to do that now. We have the foundation laid. Now we just need to have them re-signed. I still think Dalvin's going to take a hometown discount, man. I really do. I don't think we're going to lose him.
Even if Dalvin takes eight, is that taken away from a position that you need more, right? So even if Dalvin takes $8 million a year, is that money that you could use to sign a guy like Leonard Floyd, where B.J. Hill can fill in at the defensive end position?
I mean, look at Kyler Fackrell's deal, 1 year, $4 million. So, of course, you can sign guys for – I mean, honestly, I think that's another good point is we're going to see a lot of one-year deals again. And I think that's going to be kind of the hot topic around the league, just with the cap coming down. I mean, I know that we had talked about the cap. We don't know
if the cap's going to drop yet.
Yeah, but then Gettleman said that he thought it was coming down a little bit more than what CBS had been reporting. So I don't really know what to believe.
Well, it all comes down to – so when they did the collectively bargained agreement, they were supposed to have the extra wild card team this year. And then they were supposed to go to an 18-game schedule next year. So from what Dan Duggan had said, he said that he thinks that's been shelved. But from what I've read is that not that it's shelved, but they still have to negotiate the extra TV deal for that 8th game or 18th game, which is where the additional money for the salary cap would come in. So we don't really know yet whether or not the cap is going to go up or be reduced.
It's going to be a little bit. I mean, if Gettleman doesn't have a clue, then nobody has a clue. I don't care. People can make fun of that. But I think the GM would know if the cap was going up or down. And it didn't really sound like that was anywhere set in stone. But regardless, whether it shrinks or rises or whatever, we're still going to be in a situation. So, Kevin, the Wizards.
I also
Kevin
wonder if they trade a guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a list of some
like
cuts
Ingram.
They can make. But yeah, Ingram. I
mean, Golden Tate,
I think we're stuck with Evan Ingram, guys.
Don't lead me down this path. We literally almost made it an entire episode without you mentioning that motherfucker. And now
I debated bringing it up or not.
Should have traded him a year ago.
Horrible cap hit. Get him off my fucking roster. I didn't realize how big it was next year.
Yeah.
$6 million. That's easy money
like
for us. He's got to go, man.
Who is that, Ingram?
I guess we're probably. There's no dead cap attached to it, but I think since we signed him to the fifth-year extension, he probably already got the money.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'd trade him and sign a vet. I don't need a crazy athletic freak tight end. I'd rather a guy that can block and catch the ball, make contested catches.
Kyle Pitts?
Chains.
Maybe Kyle Pitts? We could draft Kyle Pitts at 11.
I agree with Shane. I'm thinking more of a Caden Smith type of guy.
Yeah.
Or Kevin Boss.
Allen Robinson's coming to the Giants, boys. He's tweeting about the Brooklyn Nets. He's tweeting about New York. He's coming.
We've reported that for like 6 months now, bro.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It happened again today. So when anything Allen Robinson comes out with New York, I'm just going to make sure – we just speak it into existence. Okay, because that would be big. That would answer a lot of things.
Not but, falling in love with anyone, but I would love me some A-Rob and Royal Blue, that's for sure.
Rob's our guy. A-Rob is our guy. But yeah. So
yeah, I think the receiver position will be kind of what Murph said before, like what they do in free agency will depend on what they do on the draft. And I think if they're able to get a guy like Allen Robinson, maybe they go for a smaller, faster guy in the draft. And then if they sign, not that I'd love, I would be okay with it, but if they sign like a Curtis Samuel, like a gadget speed type guy, maybe they go for a bigger body, Terrace Marshall Jr., Rashad Bateman in the second, something like that, to kind of go hand in hand with each other.
All that Curtis not Samuel that I'm not, talk scares the shit out of me, man.
I'm not pushing for it.
But no, I know you're not. I just know it's out there. I know a lot of people are for it.
You know. They'll balance out each other out that way.
You know, for the sake of argument here, just while we're talking about the draft, because, I mean, look, it's something I talk about every single season because I want the Giants to draft a linebacker. Micah Parsons might be someone who falls out of the draft, too. He hasn't played. I'm very high on him, has ties to Coach Chaos and this defense. He can fit that second linebacker position next to Blake. I'm a homer. I'm an LB guy. But, you know, we talk about edge being a weakness. As much as we need a cornerback, too, man, we need a linebacker, too. I love Tay. I love Tay Crowder. Don't get me wrong. We got to steal out of him in the seventh, but there's never enough. I still think that that linebacker two position is a big time need. I was just seeing what you guys thought of that.
Yeah, I think it's
Micah Parsons was. Oh,
good. I think it's more of a luxury than a need at this point, though. Go ahead, Shane.
He was recruited as an edge player, though, going to Penn State, and they moved him to middle linebacker. So, if they take him. I'm cool because you could have him, Blake, and Tay on the field at the same time, and then we don't ever have to see David Mayo playing edge again.
They have Micah Parsons there. He plays a very similar position to what they were trying to do with Cam this year. Again, they like their Penn State guys. Chaos is on the team. He coached him. I just see a lot of ties there, and we were talking about people who slip. He's someone I've had my eyes on for a while, but I also want the Giants to draft a linebacker every year, but he's a guy that makes a lot of sense to me. I know it's not a sexy pick, and it probably, again, might be a luxury mage, but I think fits this scheme and what they want to do really, really well. But again, we have more needs offensively. It's just, you know,
get greedy. When was the last time that the Giants drafted a linebacker in the first round?
Carl Banks. So 88? 86. 88.
I think 86. I could be wrong.
So, I actually got my eyes on that other DN from Penn State.
Jason
away.
Yeah, dude, that guy's a freak of nature. 6'5", like 250 or something.
Dude's exact numbers aren't there, but he's a physical freak.
Yeah, he's got the prototype body, which I love. I love guys' bodies.
Shane, I apologize because this happens all the time. Murph has no filter, nor does he have any hearing. So just when you think he's done and you start to talk, he keeps going for another 3 minutes, pauses, and then it never stops. It's 53 episodes and we've still been unable to correct it. Murph, I looked up Evan Engram's contract.
Yeah, it's you can't get out of it.
We can. So June 1st release, cap savings of $6 million, zero dead cap. Pre-trade, same. Post, same. So, no matter what we do with him, if he's not on the roster, we don't pay him.
So, we can get straight out of it by cutting him?
Yeah. If we release him, $6 million, correct?
Do it.
Anybody not doing that? I guess they probably can't restructure it since it's an extension.
I can't imagine that. Not a first, but I can't imagine that there isn't a team that sees his potential. I mean, he's in year five, going into year five, that he should have found it already, but I can't imagine that there isn't a team out there that would give up a day two pick for him.
I would love to see him on a team like maybe a San Francisco 49ers opposite George Kittle.
Or just like not on my team.
Yeah.
Keep him in the division, just not with us.
Just done with him, man. Like, I mean, I love the kid. I think he's a really good kid. I know he's really good with the media and all that stuff, and I think he's a good person. But, I mean, what's the point of keeping him? He's not going to be part of the future, at least from a fan's perspective. if you're not going to keep him and lock him up, what's the point in paying him $6 million next year? I see no point. I mean, I dread the day when we're in the playoffs and it's the fourth quarter and we have to give the ball to Evan Engram. I dread that day so much. Because we saw it in regular season fourth quarters this year.
I mean,
it'll be next season in the playoffs.
How many more did you need to see? You know, if you're the organization, if you're the team, how much more did you need to see? I don't get it. I mean, yeah, he made the Pro Bowl on shenanigans, but it's like, again, they almost lucked out that there's still possibly value out there, because we felt the same way we do now almost a full cycle year ago and thought they should move him. And the fact that you could probably still get anything or a fraction of what it was at this point is insane, and you should definitely take advantage of that.
Because value is higher now than it was last year. He had a broken foot last year. So, I mean, yeah. I was one of the sole ones I was saying we should just keep him because there's no value at that point, but he played a full season. Now's the time, man. Yep. Now's the damn time. And I don't see it happening though. I do really think Joe Judge likes him.
Maybe we're missing something.
It's not even the drops too. It's not even just the drops. They like, again, going back to Garrett, he didn't use him. He used him like he was Jason Witten with the hook routes, the choice routes. Like, I don't ever remember seeing him. Very rarely would he be running down the seam or be lined up out wide, opposite of the trip, single receiver, like whatever. I just feel like they want him so badly to be a tight end, like a straight up tight end, and he just isn't that.
So the other thing that we didn't really touch on regarding the NFC East is Doug Peterson got fired.
Clown of the week. Fuck yes. That guy, man.
Yes, clown of the fucking week.
There's nobody in the entire country that deserved to be fired more than that guy.
He should be embarrassed. He should be embarrassed.
He should be blackballed.
And anyone who stood up for him, you're also the clown of the week. I have Philly fans that defended that man. You're also the clown of the week.
Yep, all their fans as well. That's a good point, you know.
Defended him. Defended him.
Elaborate. Why do you both say that?
They're fans?
No, why are you calling him a clown, and why do you think he deserves to be fired?
I mean, he wrecked their organization, I think. I mean, they put him in limbo.
Yeah, but it sounds like from everything that we heard this weekend, he didn't really have much say or much control.
I'm still salty from what he did to us.
Yeah.
Kind of again, it sounded like that wasn't his decision.
Yeah, but okay, but he wrecked their organization, though. Mace, he wrecked their organization more in terms of what they did with Carson Wentz. I think he had a big factor to what the hell went down with Carson Wentz.
And I heard today he did not want Jalen Hurts.
But this is what I mean. Their organization is so cooked. Fine, maybe we don't have to just make Doug the clown of the week, because I don't think Howie's innocent either. I don't think
the Eagles.
Howie's awful. I mean, Shane touched on it earlier. I mean, taking Jalen Reagor ahead of Justin Jefferson, I mean, he's been awful at drafting.
They want a receiver again.
And Dave Gettleman. Good thing they don't have Howie Roseman as their GM.
Well, he got all his failures got erased when they won that Super Bowl, but people forget how bad he was before that, man. From the dream team to all the trade capital he gives up. I mean, he's never really been – they call him the cap guru down there. And, yeah, cool, he goes out and signs free agents, but his draft record is trash. His trade record's complete trash. Dude, fuck the Eagles, man.
He traded for Darius Slay. He had one pick.
Yeah, they gave up two picks for him, and they gave up a third-round pick for Golden Tate. So, I mean –
Whiteside, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah,
it took Whiteside.
Look at Aguilar too. Aguilar's balling out.
Right. Yeah. That was. You're right, Shane. Murph didn't hear you as usual, but yeah, he took JJ Arcega-Whiteside over DK Metcalf.
Yeah. Well, they've been searching for a corner.
He's also a cap guru, but then look at their cap next year.
Yeah.
He's a cap guru, but they have to cut 52 of their 53 players just to get in the positive.
And I also think people don't show enough
team.
They don't show enough love to Frank Reich. I've been saying this forever. It wasn't Doug. Nick wanted. Nick Foles wanted Philly. He didn't even want it. Don't tell me. Doug coached it up. Nick had the balls and the 9-incher to call that shit in the Super Bowl. He wanted it. I think Doug rode that Super Bowl high, and his cards are shown a little bit, man. I think people can see through Doug Peterson. I don't know if he get blackballed, but I don't think he's getting a job this year.
Again, none of us are inside the front office, so we don't know what really happened. But even as a Giants fan, I'm going to say that I am actually against you both on this. So if it comes out that, you know, everything is true, I mean, Doug Peterson said that he was tired of answering to other people or that he wanted control. I mean, it's tough to run an organization, an offense, or even a personnel that way. If you have people that are constantly meddling, from the general manager to the owner, we bitch about that with John Mara. So I don't know how, as Giants fans, we can't understand that.
But yeah, you do agree that Doug Peterson lost his job for the shit he pulled?
No.
Well, why?
Yeah, I think
because they told him his job was safe. Hold on. Like a week My question before. For you is: even all the players came out and said they didn't know what the hell was going on, and they were, you know, not in on whatever the tank was. So even if Doug was told about it before the game, why don't you tell your team? Why don't you say, this is the plan, Jalen's going to hurt, play three and a half quarters?
No, this is what we talk about with Dave Gettleman and John Mara, right? If you feel like you have the support of ownership, as that person on the front line, you are going to fall on that sword for ownership because you feel like they got your back no matter what, right? We all say as Giants fans that we thought John Mara was the reason that 2018 happened, right? He wanted to win one more time with Eli. You never heard Dave Gettleman ever say, yeah, this was John's fault. He says, no, we had some miscalculations. You know, we thought that we can compete. It's the same thing. But why is it that all of a sudden, Shane just said it, but nobody heard him. Shane said he was safe going into week 17. He was safe even after week 17. What happened? Doug Peterson went to the front office and probably said, like, fuck this shit. I'm done with this. Like, I want control. He was tired of being a puppet. And then all of a sudden shit went south. Shane, go ahead.
Well, also, I'm going to jump in before Shane. Telling us we didn't listen to Shane. I'm listening to Shane. Stop telling me I didn't listen to Shane. I'm listening to him. Good at Shane. The hell was that about?
You can't hear Shane. That's the problem. You're listening to Shane. You can't hear Shane.
I don't know what to believe. I feel like, I don't know. I have a couple Eagles fans, friends that are Eagles fans too. And they said that ownership told them to do it. Then it comes out that it was his decision. He said he was coaching to win, but then he said that he felt that some deserved reps. We're never going to know the truth as to whose decision it was, what really happened. If it was ownership, I think it's hilarious that he got fired just in the way that it happened. But if it was ownership, I would have been like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not throwing the game. You're getting fired either way. You know, I wonder if it's reactionary to the fans and the world all being like, this is a joke. Like, I wonder if it was them being like, we got to kind of cover our ass now. And this is going to be our patsy, and you know, bye Doug.
The biggest issue for
I don't know what to believe.
Yeah. Did it again, man. Biggest issue for Philly, in my opinion, though, is, dude, they broke all trust that they had. You're not going to get free agent signings now unless you pay a complete overpay. Good luck to any coach that wants to go into that shithole. I mean, it was literally out there that the owner literally said that he had no idea who to believe, whether it was Howie or Doug. I mean, that's just a shit storm, dude. So, in all, this is great for us because Philly's back in the dumpster, dude. Cap hell. They don't have a quarterback, and they put their reputation on the line, and they also don't have a coach now. So, it'd be lovely to see Adam Gase wearing Eagles green.
I agree.
Yeah, so let's stay there. The question is the NFL vacancies. So who do you think is a candidate for the Eagles job then? You say Adam Gase?
I think it looks like they're doing their due diligence. It looks like they brought in Brady, Saleh, Gase. I think those are the only three I saw.
The most hilarious thing to hire Gase.
Gase made Peyton Manning.
It's an offensive league, guys. It's an offensive league, right? Got it. gotta get your offensive guys in when you can, right? You gotta get.
They did reach out to Lincoln Riley too. I forgot about that one. I don't know if he was interviewing.
Yeah, but this is what I mean about
the Eagles. He's not leaving Oklahoma.
I don't even give a shit. He can come in the NFL, man. They
may
talking about him for 4 years too, dude.
I think we came at Doug a little hard. I think he's right because I think the entire Eagles organization as a whole are the clowns of the week because things like that are clown moves, man. You just said that they think Carson might stay and Doug wanted him and they didn't want Jalen Hurts. But now you're going to bring in Jalen Hurts' college coach for a season to come try to coach Jalen Hurts. But Carson Wentz is the reason you're in cap hell. But now he said he might not go because Doug Peterson's not there anymore. It's like, who knows what to believe? But any way you look at it, it's a fucking disaster. It's a disaster. And they did it to themselves and they put themselves on the big stage about it because they blew that last game of the season. And maybe it was a reaction to the fans, but it showed that how the Eagles try to make it unjust and everyone called the Giants fans babies and it wasn't a big deal. It's kind of a big fucking deal. It's kind of a big fucking deal. Don't tell me the NFL big dogs over at the headquarters in New York City move that game to 8 o'clock for the Eagles to blow it the way they did. There's no way that was okay from the top down. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that definitely played a part of it.
They definitely got a year full on Monday morning. There's no doubt.
I just love that you're talking about the Eagles being a dysfunctional franchise and a shit show. I'm just reminded of our podcast. So it is somewhat dysfunctional and a shit show at times. But
good thing we're not a multi-million-dollar organization.
Well, it could be.
Not yet. Not yet.
It could be, Murph. Why do you know, you always got to put a damper on things. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode of Clapback Sports. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Peace and love, everyone.